So the first story is our personal walk with God, and the second story is our family life. Very, very important. More important than ministry. If you have a choice between spending time with your family and spending time on ministry, I say spend time with your family. I believe that. I want to encourage you, my brothers, spend time with your wife, and some of you parents need to spend time with your children. Many children feel lonely because their fathers and mothers don't spend time with them. My wife used to spend time with my children every single day when they came back from school and ask them what happened. That's why she gave up her job, to spend time with the children. And we don't regret it today. Spend time with your children. Fathers, go on a date. Do you know what a date is? It's a good Western word. You know, boys and girls go on a date together before they get married to find out if they are suited for each other. They just go out alone somewhere. So I want to encourage fathers to go with each of your children alone, out somewhere. I used to do that with my boys. I had to go for a date with one of them at a time, say once a month or something, just to spend time alone with them. We were not rich, but we could just go out, sit in a park, or just go and have an ice cream or something and spend time together. And like that, bring a bond between father and each child. It's very, very important, especially in these days. And I believe that a lot of children are lonely because they're looking, and when they're lonely, they look for love elsewhere. Your little girl, it's not a little girl, your young daughter, if she doesn't get love at home, I'll tell you, she'll look for love on Facebook, on WhatsApp, and all these other places. And there are plenty of opportunities now which there were not in the olden days. And you will lose your daughter one day. And the reason will be because you were so busy that you didn't have time for the children God gave you. Take time with your children, no matter how old you are. Spend time with your children. Do that. It's very, very important, especially in our time, much more than it was important when my kids were small, 30 or 40 years ago. Much more important today because we are living in a very evil world. Family is very important. That is the second story. Ministry and church come third. Always remember that. And when you bring up your children, it's not just spending time with them. We need to take time to teach them the Word of God. Don't leave that to Sunday school. Get a picture story Bible or something for your children to read and ask them questions when you sit around the dining table. We never had time for morning family prayer like other people. It's a good habit to have. If you can do it, do it. But we never managed it in our home, I'll tell you honestly. Because I didn't want to wake up my children at 5:30, sleepy, and they sit there sleepy, and I read the Bible to them. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to make the Bible like a burden. But we would talk about the Bible. It doesn't say you have to read it in the morning. We at the dining table, we would be talking about Scripture. I'd ask them questions. I mean, I ask my grandchildren questions like that now from the Bible. And I got a picture story Bible for them to read, and I would ask them questions from that and got them an interest to know the Bible, so that by the time my children were 18 years old and left home, they really knew the Bible. And I believe all of your children must know the Bible by the time they leave home when they're 18 years old. And don't leave that to the church. You must do it at home, the father especially. And if the father is too lazy, then the mother must do it. You know, Timothy got his knowledge of God from his mother. So very, very important to teach them the God's word and to discipline them. That means from earliest childhood, from the time they are 1 year old, they must understand what the meaning of the word no. And they must obey it. They must learn to obey. There were only two things I used to discipline my children for. Disobedience or disrespect to parents, and secondly, telling lies. All children tell lies. The Bible says that. We have to teach them not to tell lies. All children will be disobedient and disrespectful to parents. Not only your children, all children. We have to teach them to be respectful and obedient. So don't think your children are particularly bad because they tell lies or because they are disobedient. They are like normal children, children of Adam. I remember somebody came when my children were all very small and asked me, "Brother Zach, do your children ever fight with each other?" I said, "Of course. They are children of Adam. They are not born again. They were small. What do little 4-5-year-old children, brothers do at home? They fight. But the difference between their fight and older people's fight is Their fight is over in 15 minutes. They are good friends. Older people, even after 15 years, they may not forgive each other. So it's a different type of fight these children have. But we must love them, discipline them when they don't obey you, discipline them when they tell lies. Very important. Other things are unimportant. Don't value material things so much that if they break something, you get upset. I decided I would never get upset with my children unless they deliberately broke something, if they accidentally broke something, even something very expensive. I said, forget it. I'm not interested. Material things have no value for me. So if your children see that they'll grow up and see what are the true values in God's kingdom. That's how another thing about home life, which I've written here, is interference from parents. It's very important, particularly in India, for all husbands to obey the first commandment given to man in the Bible. I don't mean to Adam, that was only for him. We don't have the tree of knowledge of good and evil today. Leave that aside. What is the first commandment written in the Bible? The only commandment given for man before sin came. Do you know what it is? It's not don't commit murder. It's not don't commit adultery. It's in Genesis 2, verse 24, before chapter 3. When you get married, man, leave your father and your mother and cleave to your wife. I wish I could go all over India and preach that. You husbands, you must leave your attachment to your father and mother and cleave to your wife. And your cleaving will not be strong if your leaving is not strong. If your leaving is weak, your cleaving will be weak. And some of you have already experienced that. It's very, very important. You say, well, I shouldn't care for them. Of course you must care for them. But you don't. Your attachment is not to them now. And this is what Indian parents cannot understand. Oh, I brought up my child for 28 years and now some girl has taken him away and he doesn't care for me. Of course he'll care for you, but he's not going to listen to you. His attachment is more to his wife now than to you. Many people can't understand that. And if you don't follow that, I can tell you something. Your cleaving to your wife will not be the way God wants it to be. You'll have endless problems in your cleaving to your wife because you have not left your father and mother. Should we love them? Yes, love them. Should we care for them? Yes. Should we provide for them financially? Yes, as much as possible. Help them. If they are sick, take care of them. It may be a need for them to come and live with you when they are old and helpless, that you take care of them. Definitely, they took care of you when you were a helpless baby. You should take care of them when they are old. There are many wives sometimes who don't want them. Husband's parents ever to come and live with them. Even if they come for a few days, they get upset. Those are terrible wives. They have not understood, they have not known God at all. What did Jesus do when he was hanging on the cross? He, when he left his home, that was the equivalent of your getting married, he was now connected to his father. The first thing he told his mother was, "Woman, what have I got to do with you?" Mary got the shock of her life. Because for 30 years he always said, "Yes, mama, yes, mama, yes, mama, yes, mom, yes, mom, yes, mom." And all of a sudden he says, "Woman, what have I got to do with you?" at the marriage in Cana when she said something. There we learn from Jesus how we must separate once we get married, where our relationship with our father and mother is not the same. But see, when he was hanging on the cross, when he was suffering, he thought of his mother. He had four younger brothers and two sisters. Can't they take care of him? Why did he have to think about it on the cross? He's got a million other things to think of on the cross. He thought of his mother because he was the eldest son. And he said, "I have a responsibility for my mother." Imagine hanging on the cross. He's thinking of his responsibility to his mother, to care for her. Great example. This one, he once told her, "What have I got to do with you?" But he also cared for her. That's the balance. In other words, "Dad, mom, I'm not going to let you interfere in my life now that I'm married. I love you. I'll accept your advice. I respect you, honor you." That's another thing I want to say. See, we must honor our parents. Even if they are idol worshippers, drunkards, if that is your father, You must honor him till the end of his life. You don't have to obey him. No. You come out of his home and you have to obey him when you're at home. You still don't have to disobey God because God is above your father. You don't have to disobey God and obey your dad. But there are times when you have to say firmly, Dad, I respect you, love you, and be very gracious when you say that, but I cannot bow down to that idol. And I will not do something which is, you ask me to tell a lie, I'm sorry, I can't tell a lie. So, but we must respect them no matter who they are, no matter they are different, they are not in your church, they are non-Christians. You must respect your father and mother till the end of their lives. But you don't have to obey them once you're married. You must live, you must have a detachment from them, but you must care for them. If they are needy, if they are in need financially. What if a woman is working and earning money? Should she support her parents? Of course. Why should the husband grab that money? He's earning himself. If a husband can care for his parents financially, why shouldn't the wife who's earning money care for her parents? What's wrong with that? But there are selfish men, they should be ashamed to call themselves Christians, who are so covetous and money-loving. I'll tell you something, you husbands who prevent your wives from giving money to their parents. You don't have any faith. God will honor you if you care to obey. The Bible says we must care for our parents when they're old. Let me show you a verse in Mark chapter 7 where Jesus spoke about that. In Mark's Gospel chapter 7, he said about some people who don't care for their aged parents. They were super spiritual. He said in Mark 7 verse 10, Moses said, honor your father and mother. And if you speak evil of your father and mother, you should be put to death. Can you believe that? Mark 7:10. That if you speak evil of your father and mother, you should be killed. This is a loving God in heaven saying, teaching people to respect their parents. But you say, the Pharisees, no, if you've given your money in the offering box, you've given it to God and you tell your dad, sorry, Dad, I don't have any money to give you. You're starving, I know, but I can't help you because I'm a holy man. I gave that money to God. Jesus said, rubbish. That's not Christianity. Verse 13, you're canceling the word of God by this tradition, wretched tradition that you have. And you don't allow him, verse 12, to do anything for his father and mother. Those are the words of Jesus rebuking. And I would say that Mark 7, verse 12, some husbands must hear Jesus saying to you, you don't allow your wife to do anything for her father and mother? Dear husbands, read Mark 7, verse 12. Or you wife, your husband wants to help his parents who are in need. And I'd say to you, wife, the Lord is saying to you, you don't permit him to help his father and mother? That's the balance. Once you get married, you and your wife must take all your decisions. By all means, your parents got a lot of wisdom, seek their advice, but decision must finally be taken by husband and wife. I'm just telling you things for a very happy married life if you want to live happily, if you want to follow God's principles, because I preached this for 40 years, but there are still people in CFC who are not following it. And that's why you don't follow God's law. See, it's like, you know, I call the Bible manufacturer's instructions. God manufactured man. So you get a washing machine and you don't follow the instructions. You say, no, I don't have to read the instructions. I'll just press whatever button I like and the thing blows up. And you take it to the company that sold it. The first thing they will ask you is, did you follow the instructions? No, I know more all that. Well, no wonder it packed up. Sorry, your guarantee is not valid. You've got to pay for it now or buy another one. But none of us do that because we are humble. We say the manufacturer knows more about the washing machine than me. I'm not so proud to think I know more about it. If they tell me to press this button first and then that button, I'll do that. But when we come to our own life and our married life, we say, oh, I know more than the manufacturer. No wonder your life is so messed up or your marriage is so messed up. It shouldn't be. Your marriage should be more glorious than all the other marriages in the world. Follow the manufacturer's instructions.